This is the Friday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning, my guest is Bethany Turner, a local author who has written a series of three novels about Abigail Phelps, a fictional award-winning actress and ice dancer who interacts with a wide array of real-life celebrities, including George Clooney, Senator Ted Kennedy, Robert Redford, Tom Hanks, Billy Joel, and many, many more. The second edition of Bethany's Abigail Phelps trilogy is out now in paperback and on Kindle, and she's here this morning to talk about her books. Good morning, Bethany.
Good morning. How are
you? It's great. Nice to have you back here at KSJD. How did you come up with this concept for these books starring your heroine, Abigail Phelps?
Well, you know, when it started, I had no intention of publishing. I had no intention of finishing, really. It was just kind of a writing experiment when I began. And here's the full confession. I'm a little bit lazy. And what better than creating characters where the character development is already done for you? Because, you know, all you have to do is Google them. And so that kind of, you know, I thought, what would it be like if we approach this book as something where, you know, people already know who these people are. We kind of get to dive right in and develop these relationships and fully expecting every reader to come to the table with different preconceived notions about these people. And then it just became, okay, so if you're going to have a really, really famous best friend of a certain age, who would it be? It's like, well, George Clooney sounds fun. Yeah. You know, so that's just kind of how it developed. And kind of the whole, kind of a subtitle of the whole thing has kind of been reality is in the eye of the beholder. And that applies to many things throughout the story. But one of them is hopefully for the reader as well, because you already think you know who these people are. So let's see how that, where that leads you.
Well, I like that. You've already got all these characters who are already developed.
Yep.
So you did still have to develop Abigail Phelps.
I had to make
so
one.
Tell me who Abigail Phelps is.
Okay. Yeah, she's kind of important, I guess. Abigail Phelps, when we first meet her in the very first paragraph of the book, she's being institutionalized against her will. And she's basically blaming the Kennedy family for putting her there. She's, which, how many times has that happened? Let's face it. No. So immediately, you know, there's actually another fictional character, her therapist, easily diagnoses her with delusional disorders. Obviously. I mean, come on, you know. So it looks like an open and shut case. He starts treating her as a form of therapy. He has her write down her delusions as if they were a fictional story so that she can kind of disassociate, put them aside, visit them as she would any other work of fiction. And so she starts writing her stories. And then after, like, 7 years of therapy, which we don't go through the whole 7 years, don't worry. But as after all this time, she suddenly puts together this book, which could be a major breakthrough in her therapy. But the problem is she's written it as her memoirs. And so that's kind of the breaking point for the trilogy, where you kind of see then, okay, something different has happened here, because as the therapist starts then kind of going on this adventure, this scavenger hunt almost, to find out what's going on here, because he starts unearthing little truths and things represent different things that sometimes, you know, he's finding out that the truth is a little more difficult to believe than what she wrote about. And she's actually involved in this ridiculous, scandalous life. And so it's the scavenger hunt. As you're going through and hearing her delusions, you're also learning the true story, which is even more insane, and it's in a wonderful way.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Friday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. My guest this morning is Bethany Turner, and we're talking about her books about a fictional character named Abigail Phelps and her interaction with a bunch of real-life celebrities. What kind of you mentioned Google, of course, which is the starting point for any research.
Right.
But what kinds of research are you doing on the celebrities so that there's kind of this sense that some of this stuff may have really happened, I guess?
Well, here's another sad confession. I had to do very little because I just have this obsessive pop culture brain where it's like, oh, I just know this stuff about these people. But that's sad, and no one will be my friend if I tell too many people that. But
too late.
Too late. It's out there. So, you know, I started with it. there was never a situation where it was, okay, let's find someone who would be interesting that fits into this mold. It was never that. It was kind of amazing how I kind of had this group of people, this core group of people, her best friend, her love interests. You know, I had them kind of set immediately. And as I researched those people, really just looking for fun little nuggets I could throw in, it led me to other people who was like, oh, okay, now that person was a part of this person's life in 1995, so I could fit that into, you know, so it really was this enormous jigsaw puzzle that for someone as obsessive and pop culture driven as I am, was like the most fun I've ever had in my entire life. But it was also amazing how little work was involved, and things just came together, and there were things that I didn't know until the story was in place that fell perfectly into line, and including Abigail's real life story, which I always feel a little like the crazy lady myself when I say her real life story, but I have to differentiate in my mind, because, you know, she, I had set up several things in place. I had this woman living in Simsbury, Connecticut, because there's an international ICE center there. That was the reason I picked that. That was it. So then as I'm doing some research and Googling some things and doing different things, my husband one day pulls up this picture of the Abigail Phelps Daughters of the American Revolution in Simsbury, Connecticut. And, you know, she apparently this real woman, Abigail Phelps, was basically the mother of this town that I had already placed my Abigail Phelps in. It's like, are you kidding me? Wow. So then it became all this stuff of, okay, let's use that. And that became part of her story as well. So it was great.
Wow. That's, yeah, that's a crazy coincidence.
Yeah.
You know, you were just talking about how celebrities' stories kind of start to overlap. Mm-hmm. Is that basically how you're choosing which celebrities get involved with the books? You're kind of letting it kind of play out as almost in the real world?
Yes. Yeah. You know, my hope is that as you read it, the line's a little blurry. You know, you're there's so much truth in there that you kind of aren't really sure where the fiction begins. And it's really just a psychological experiment. I'm just going to reveal my research someday. It's, you know, it is very much that because it is all based in truth. And obviously I didn't use every fact and all of that. But, you know, if I can find proof that this person was at this place at this time and I can work that into the story, then I work with those circumstances. And, you know, it makes it even more reality bending, I guess you would say.
Okay. Who do you consider the audience for your books? Who reads your books?
Well, it's primarily women's fiction. It's not chick lit per se, as it's called now. Although there's certainly more than one nod to romantic comedies, and there's some humor. But, you know, I would say it's a contemporary women's. However, I've, you know, encountered quite a few men who've really enjoyed them because my husband, for instance, he loves the reality side of it and the psychological mind-bending part of it. And then my girlfriends are loving the part where she's dating JFK Jr., you know? So, you know, I really honestly want to say there's something for just about anybody, but primarily it's a women's fiction book.
Okay. Well, you're listening to the Friday Morning Zine here on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning, my guest is Bethany Turner, and we're talking about her series of three novels starring Abigail Phelps, a fictional award-winning actress and ice dancer who interacts with a wide array of real-life celebrities. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll talk a little bit more with Bethany about her book. Stay with us. You are listening to KSJD. This is the Friday Morning Zine. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning here in the studio with me is Bethany Turner. She's a local author who's written a series of three novels about Abigail Phelps. And that's a fictional character that she has interacting with a wide array of real-life celebrities like George Clooney, Robert Redford, Billy Joel, and many more. The second edition of Bethany's Abigail Phelps trilogy is out right now in paperback and on Kindle. Bethany, let's talk a little bit about, these are self-published books,
yes,
basically.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about your experience self-publishing books.
Sure. You know, when I first wrote the books and realized, oh, I finished, and they might be worth publishing, I started to go the traditional route, and, you know, I sent out to a bunch of agents and all that. And basically what it came down to is I wasn't patient enough and and I wasn't willing to sacrifice my vision. Because as you can probably already tell, these books don't really fit into any specific genre, and they're a little more difficult to pigeonhole, which to me is a good thing. To the publishing world, unfortunately, is a challenge they're not sure they want to take. So I decided to self-publish. And, you know, self-publishing is, it is not for the faint at heart. I mean, just being fully honest, if you are motivated and you are driven and you don't mind crying a little bit here and there. No, it's wonderful. And I'm so glad I did it. But it's also intense because, you know, the help from friends and all that, but when it comes right down to it, you're the author, you're the editor, you're the publisher, you're the marketing, you're the PR, you are everything. And so that's the scary side of it. The exciting side of it is you're the author, you're the editor, you're the marketing, you get to do it all, you know, and so you get to do it your vision the way you see fit. And, you know, when I published the first edition a year ago, and at that point, you know, I was still working crazy, stressful, full-time job. It was okay, yay, it's out there. Yay, I published a book. And I kind of thought that would be the end of it. And as the time passed and I looked, it's like, oh, I could have done that better and different things. And not only that, Abby's story kind of kept developing in my head a little bit. So with the second edition, then it was like, okay, take all I've learned from self-publishing in the past year and do it how I should have done it the first time. It's a wild, wacky, wonderful challenge if you're up for it.
Yeah. Well, now you were recently able to do a book signing in New England. What was the story behind that?
Well, okay, so the Simsbury story that I was telling of the real Abigail Phelps. So I had joined this Facebook group, actually, in Simsbury, Connecticut, just because I was like, hey, I researched your town a lot when I was doing my book. I love it. I love you guys. Just wanted to say hi. You know, no marketing involved. And after a little while, this woman said, hey, would you be interested in coming out to the public library and doing a talk about your book? Yeah. So my two best friends and I, we went out to New England, spent a week out there, went to Simsbury, and it was insane, Tom. I can't even tell you, because as we're driving through Simsbury, it's like there's Phelps Lane, there's the Phelps Homestead, Phelps Tavern. We ate at a restaurant on that Sunday called Abigail's Tavern. I mean, everything was this woman. And of course, this character who is so deeply personal to me now, I'm just like, this is her hometown. And, you know, thankfully my friends are along on the crazy train with me and aren't like, she's fictional. You know, they're right there with me. It's like, Abby. So it was fantastic.
Well, I can see how the lines would get blurred though when you're in this real town and you're like, wow, this is really Abigail Phelps.
Exactly. And like, there's this part in the story where she gets caught behind this homestead making out with this boy she shouldn't have been with when she's a teenager. And, you know, then there we were and we were all like, that's where Abby got caught. And you feel so silly, but it's so fun because it's a really blurry line.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, what are you working on next? Are you going to do more Abigail Phelps stories? Is this going to be a continuing series for you?
You know, I think for now her story is pretty much done, except I am in the early development stages of writing now her real story from a historical angle.
It's like a prequel.
Kind of, yes. It's like,
well, that's naturally what you would
do. Of course. What else would I do? So, you know, it's kind of, it's, I can't completely escape Abby's world. Abby blogs, you know, just to keep all that real. She has a website where she blogs, kind of trying to make her look real. So Abby's always kind of going, but I'm working on some separate things. I've got, I'm kind of in romantic comedy mindset right now. So I'm channeling my inner Nora Ephron and trying to do some of that. And so working on other things, but Abby's always a part of it. I kind of think Abigail Phelps isn't going anywhere real soon.
Well, it sounds like too, that there is some sort of a fan community building around this. I mean, you're describing this interaction online. Is that what's happening? Are you getting people that are kind of, hey, we want to hear the next story?
Kind of. Yeah, I actually am, you know, because with all these different characters, people latch on to different things. And you know, if you have the pop culture brain like I do, you know that, hey, you've never read another book where Robert Redford is a character, you know, that's fun. So, you know, you get these people who are reading it for Robert Redford, and then you get these people who are reading it for George Clooney, and I don't think anyone's reading it for my writing, but but that's okay as long as they're reading it. It is developing slowly, you know, which is sometimes I want it done now. I want it done yesterday, actually. So, you know, with my brain and the way it works, it's sometimes frustrating, but it is developing, and it's kind of overwhelming, actually, the way that's happening.
Yeah, that's neat.
It's very cool.
Well, how can people find the books?
Well, the easiest way I would recommend is to go to abbyphelps.com, ABBYPHELPS.com, because there you can find everything. But you can also just go to Amazon and search the individual names of the books are I've Loved These Days, Scenes from Highland Falls, and 2,000 Years, which are all tied into Billy Joel titles, if you're a Billy Joel fan. more on that on a different story. But you know, you can search that way. But you can also just search my name, Bethany Turner, or Abigail Phelps series, and that comes up. I would definitely recommend go to abbyphelps.com, because there you can hook onto her YouTube page and watch the book trailers and join the Facebook, and she tweets, I mean, you know, everything. So that'd be the best way.
And I have to admit, I got sucked in myself for a little while.
Did you?
I was like, wow, look at all this information.
It's like, it's a madhouse.
It was awesome.
Well, thank you.
Well, Bethany, thanks so much for being here with me this morning. It was nice talking with you.
You too. Thanks.
That's Bethany Turner. She's a local author who's written a series of three novels about Abigail Phelps. And again, you can find them on paperback and on Kindle. You've been listening to the Friday Morning Zine. Today's program was produced by myself, Tom Yoder, and our theme music was written and performed by Brett Peja.